Welcome to The Patriots, 1776. Hello, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are. And I am. And so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "As for the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and drinking, of course, a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win America back, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should have pen and paper and your Bible, and we will give your mailing address later. Today's question: how does a Christian protect himself against the world and the devil? Turn, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to talk about how to protect ourselves. And of course, this is a familiar passage, but we need to go over it. We need to be reminded of the things and the ways that we can be protected from the world and the devil. Beginning in verse number 10, in Ephesians 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." This, of course, is written to Christians. And he's telling us that we should be strong in the Lord. You know, every day of our lives should be in the Lord. Everything that we do should be in the Lord. And that's where we get the power of his might. He just doesn't give his power to everyone, not even to all Christians. But those who are close to him, he gives them his power. In verse number 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And doesn't he have wiles? First of all, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God." He's telling us in these verses that we can be protected, and that we will be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And here in verse number 12, when it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," we are not like the Muslims that go out and fight people to win their position. We don't have to do that, and that's not what it's about. You have to remember that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And that's what the powerful weapon is that we have, is that we use God's word, and God's Holy Spirit uses that, as we'll find a little bit later on. And when it says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, if you look up the word principalities, look up the word powers, the next part says against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, you find out that these four things that are named, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places, these are all levels of government. They're all levels of government. And that's why it's so important for us to be involved in government. Let's never forget that government is not a spectator sport. Government is a participation sport. And because we have not done that, because we have not been occupying as he told us to, he said to occupy till he comes. And yet, how many Christians are involved in government? We're supposed to be in government, and yet we've kind of backed away from government and said that's not for us. And yet, that's one of God's institutions that he uses to protect people. In verse number 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When we talk about the armor of God, and it says to take you unto you the whole armor of God, not just some of it, but all of it. When we talk about the armor of God, what God gives us to protect ourselves from the world. That's an amazing thing. God not only puts us here, but he gives us protection. One of my favorite passages of scripture is found in John 17. I want to read this, and we'll go verse by verse. But there are three verses here. In John 17, the Lord is in the garden praying, and this is the night before he's crucified. And so when we look at this and we see what he's praying for Christians. He also mentions something in there towards the end of his prayer about lost people. But the most of his prayer is about Christians. And here in John 17, beginning in verse number 15, he's praying, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. How many times have we heard people say, oh, I wish the Lord would come back. Oh, I'd wish the Lord would come back. And yet, why do they want him to come back? To get us out of this mess in the world. But he is praying here in the garden, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So there's only two ways to leave. Either he comes back and we have the meeting in the air, or else we die and go to see him and be with him. And then Jesus goes on in verse number 16, talking and praying about us, about believers. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, in verse 17. Thy word is truth. So here, in verse number 16, we're not of the world. We need to be careful what part of the world that we get involved with. Even as I am not of the world, Christ prayed. And so, you know, we can imagine the things that we do, that Christ would be doing the same things from day to day and from time to time when we go out of our house, go out of our homes, and have to deal in the world. We have to remember that, like Christ, we are not of the world, even as he is not of the world. Well, how is he going to protect us? How is he going to keep us from the evil? Verse 17 tells the story. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so here in verse 17, that's the secret of everything. So many times Christians don't know the word. They don't know the truth. And that's the only thing in this world that we have that we can depend on, that will never fail us, is to know that God's word is true. If the Lord had not given us his word, where in the world would we be? How could we do anything? How could we learn to worship him? And it's not possible. And so in John 17, the way that it reads, reading all three verses, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify. He's to separate us, set us apart, and he's going to set us apart from the world through his truth. The word is truth. In verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And when it talks about your loins girt about with truth, something kind of interesting about that. The girdle or sash was an important part of the dress. in peace and war. This is where they kept their money and their sword and anything of importance. During war, the girdle is made up of iron to keep every part of the armor in its place and protect the soldier. And so when it says, having your loins girt about with truth, truth, that's the thing that's going to protect us. That's the thing that's going to hold us together. And then he goes on in verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, the armor that covered the body from neck to the thigh. It consisted of two parts, the front and the back. The breastplate protects the heart and all the vital organs. And so when we have on the breastplate of righteousness, we're being protected. And the thing that is interesting here is it protects our heart. It protects our heart, the vital organ. It protects the heart and all the vital organs. And then in verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod. Remember, we are comparing a country's soldier's foot protection to a believer's foot protection. And when we talk about it, we talk about, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. As we have more and more Christians act like Christians, we will win more lost people to Christ. The more the gospel is accepted, the more peace that we have. The fewer people that trust Christ, the fewer Christians that are around, the harder it is to have peace. As a matter of fact, we can see now, look at all the things that are going on right now, today, because Christians have kept quiet and because lost people have taken control of the government. In verse number 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. The shield, a soldier holds his shield to protect any and every part of his body. He can move it around whenever he needs extra protection. And so that shield, our faith is our shield. And our faith can go in any direction. Look at the shield of faith. What can you say except Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so the first part of that, it talks about the helmet. The helmet was to guard the head from a blow by a sword or war club or a battle axe. And the helmet of salvation, the idea is a well-founded hope of salvation will preserve us in the day of spiritual conflict. So there it is, the idea of being protected. God protects us, but how does he do all this protection? How does he take care of us? Read 17 again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? Which is the word of God. The word of God is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses. That's why it's so necessary for us to know God's word inside and out. We get blessed by God's word. We get saved by God's word. We get protected by God's word. And so God's word is a very necessary thing. And if we try to put on the whole armor of God, and God's word doesn't mean very much in our life, we're in trouble. Verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I like to remember what it says in Luke 18:1 about praying always. It just simply says, men ought always to pray. And so prayer is a very big part. I enjoy asking people, what's the most important thing that a Christian can do? And normally, most Christians will say, pray. But actually, that's not right. Actually, the right way to say it is to say, know God's Word. Because it's God's Word that God's Holy Spirit will take to protect us and will use to protect us. After all the information that we look at here in Ephesians, verse 19 might be a summary of why we should put on the whole armor of God. In verse number 19 it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Now, who does he want the gospel to be made known to? Other people, lost people, godless people, people who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And Paul says at the beginning about himself, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly." For what purpose? To make known the mystery of the gospel. And people who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, it is a mystery to them. They can't understand why these weird Christians do the things that we do, and they just think it's so foolish, because it's a mystery to them why we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But the last thing that Christ said before his ascension is in Acts 1:8. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And so our main job is to be a witness. But without the power of God's Word, we can't be a very good witness. Look at Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." So here the Lord is a strong tower. Can you imagine one of the towers along the walls in the old days, in the Bible days, Old Testament times, when they built walls around the city to protect the city? And then they had towers on the walls that stuck out above the walls so that they could see if there was any danger coming. And it says here, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And yet, look at Psalm 138:2. In Psalm 138:2, it says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." So as strong as the name of the Lord is, and such a strong tower, and it's a place for us to be saved when we say, "Lord Jesus Christ," his word is magnified above all his name. That's why the world hates the Bible so much, because it explains to us what God thinks of us. It explains to us how that the word can protect us, because the Lord is in that word. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And Romans 3:23 explains, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Wouldn't you hate a book that told you how bad you were? And yet, that same book is a double-edged sword. And on the other side of that sword, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Let's go now, if you would please, to Acts 17 and verses 10 and 11. Paul and Silas are just coming from Thessalonica. You might say, and it was so, that Paul and Silas were chased out of Thessalonica. And so Paul and Silas by night came unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You would think they'd learn. You would think that they would stay out of the synagogues because they get into so much trouble there. And yet, in verse number 11, even though the first thing they did was to go into the synagogues, in verse number 11, it talks about the people in Berea. And it says, "These the people in Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It's always so interesting to me how that lost people try to read God's word to find the mistakes and to be able to make fun of God's word. And when they are reading those, they find out, you know what, this book is true. There have been so many people who have done just that, reading God's word to find things in it that they could make fun of, and then finding out that, yay, it's true. And so it says here about those men in Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Never be afraid to be challenged by lost people about God's word not being true. God's word is true. And just because we don't know the answer to all the dumb questions that lost people want to ask to make fun of us, does not mean that there is not an answer. We just have to go to someone who knows the Bible better than we do and have it explained. The third basic thing to understand is that God created three institutions. These institutions are family, government, and church. Now, why would God create these three institutions? He created them to keep order in the world. The answer to that is really simple. Why is it that there's so much disorder in the world? Godless men have taken over these three institutions and are running them without God's help or His word. That's why there is so much disorder in the world. And if Christians were running these institutions according to His word, we wouldn't have nearly the disorder that we have now. It is tempting to get started with some particular things now. You know, global warming, health care, those things. But let's go on, because we want to get some things done describing things from the Bible. Real churches today have lost the power that God gave the church, and godless men today use the government to control the church and the family. The church today is like an elephant sitting in the middle of a room, trying to hide from all the godless people sitting around the outside of the room watching that elephant. The family today cannot be recognized for what God intended it to be. It is getting so that the godless can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. The last basic thing that we should understand is that God's word is a conservative book. So that's why godless people hate God's word so much. If you follow and do God's word, you will meet God's standards. But godless people don't like to follow any laws, God's law or even their own laws. I am sure that there are more basic things to remember. But if we remember these four basic things as we go along, it will help us to understand why America is in such a mess. Here they are again. The worldview. Christians should look at the world through the prism of God's word. The world looks at the world without the help of God. The second thing is that the world hates the Bible. Why would they hate the Bible? Because when they look at the Bible, they can see themselves as they really are. And they don't like that picture. The third basic thing that we should know is that God created three institutions to keep order. God's word is a conservative book. And so we should follow God's word. That's why we're conservatives. That's why we love the word. That's why we love our country, because conservatives do just that. They conserve what's in God's Word. They conserve what the Founding Fathers of 1776 gave us. It's an amazing thing. God created those three institutions to keep order, and the world has taken over every one of them because we Christians did not get involved. You look at the things that the communists want, and they want nothing to do with God. They say there is no God. They say that the leader of the country is God. That's what communism is. Communism follows humanism. Communism doesn't do the things that would be pleasing unto God. Well, we're coming to the close and to the end of another one of our programs. Our mailing address is The Patriot, 1776, 14505, Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Help us to stay on this station. And for everyone who sends a gift offering at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book that your host wrote. And the name of the book is When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? This book will give you a better understanding of the relationship of God's government and God's Word. Well, so long for this time. We'll see you next time. Have a good afternoon and keep serving the Lord. We love you. Bye now.